The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas, adapted for radio by Eric Scott, and a George Edwards production. When Pierre Gaudet had persuaded Louis de Franchi to leave France and make his home in Corsica, Louis, in his suicidal frame of mind, was whipped from his lethargy when he found himself bound to the back of a horse, traveling on one of the mountain sides of the great range which ran from north to south of the island. Dino Giudice and his brother Pietro were leaning over him, and as yet he could not comprehend their meaning. He did not realize that they had mistaken him for his brother Lucien.
So you thought to escape, eh? How did you do it? How did you get out of the locked room?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Nah. Why this mock innocence? The game is up now, De Franchi.
You can't escape your fate. It was meant that you should be flogged. And I can tell you now there'll be no nursing back to health and strength. No prevaricating.
Where are you taking me?
To our home. You'll be staked in front of the house and flogged until you're dead.
You're crazy, both of you. I tell you, I'm not Lucien De Franchi.
Not Lucien De Franchi? What do you take us for? Oafs, dunderheads?
You will not be Lucien de Franchi before the sun sets tomorrow evening. You will be but a shell of the former man, a cadaver.
But before you die, you will suffer. It might interest you to know that I was humiliated because you escaped.
Escaped? Then Lucien got away. I'm glad.
Glad that he'd been recaptured?
I tell you, you've made a mistake. I just come from France. You talk of my brother.
Your brother? Since when has this myth been invented? Come, Pietro. Let us get in our way. There's no time to lose. This man escaped us. Now we take him back and tie him to the whipping post. Quickly, whip up your horse.
And so the horses started on their journey once again, the Giudice whipping them up and up in a frenzy to reach their home in the south. For this was a frenzy. A frenzy nurtured by a frustrated bloodlust due to the escape, but which was now unexpectedly to be gratified, it seems. This De Franchi, whom they thought was Lucien, was their prisoner once again. Quickly to the whipping post as soon as possible, and this time, no mishaps. Through the thickly wooded valleys they picked their way, ravines smelling of moss, green leaves, of rotting vegetation, of death and growth. Over the bony ridges, down precipitous slopes and across swiftly flowing rivers, and finally past the cascading waterfall which marked the spot where Lucien was to meet his mother on the night of the escape. Then up the side of the hill which led to the Giudice home. Marianne saw them coming. She was at her window when the spiral of dust showed a movement at the foot of the hill under the hot sun. Later, when they were closer, she saw that there were three horses. Her father and uncle rode two, that was plain. But the third, what was that sack-like object strapped to its back? A knife stab of fear almost stopped her heart. Then reassurance crushed the fear. A knife stab again, reassurance. Fear, reassurance, fear. Hurriedly, she ran out of the room, down the steps in desperate haste, across to the gate which she flung open as the horseman came up.
Look, Dino, it is Marianne waiting at the gate for us.
Marianne!
I saw you in the distance. You brought someone with you?
Brought someone with us? Wait till you hear, Marianne, wait till you hear. Emile! Quickly, take me target. Look, Marianne. Look, a prize. Look at our captive.
Lucien.
Now what will the family have to say? Now we'll find out who is incompetent, a blunderer, a fool, to let the Franchi slip through his fingers. Go to Lucia, Marianne. Tell her to send for your cousin from the other part of the valley. He'll be flogged at once.
But what of the other brothers?
We can't wait. We won't wait. Otherwise, our De Franchi might slip through our fingers again, and that would never do, to make the same mistake twice.
He is to be flogged soon.
Tonight, your cousins will be the witnesses. They will tell the rest of the family that our enemy has been flogged, the name of Giudice has been avenged, that the feud has been won for us.
Marianne stood mutely by, while Louis de Franchi was dragged from his horse, thrown into the coach house, and a heavy guard put outside. All through this operation, her eyes never met his, for fear she betray the terror that was in her heart. Meanwhile, in Ajaccio, Pierre Godet, frantic, since he had walked almost all through the town to every house down every street, came back to the inn.
Why, Monsieur Godet, did you find your friend?
No, Barman. And now I'm desperate. Something has happened to him, something very serious.
But what could happen, Monsieur?
He was in very low spirits before he left Paris. He tried to take his life. I fear that he might have done something very foolish.
Oh, but Monsieur, how could that happen? This town, somebody would know. A shot from a revolver. The finding of a body if he used a knife.
I've searched and searched.
You inquired of the police?
Oh, yes, yes. They've been helping me. I think every tenant of every house in the street has been questioned.
Did you go back to the boat, Monsieur?
Yes, and he's not there. At first, I thought he might have changed his mind and gone back to Paris. You see, his thoughts are with somebody in Paris at the present moment. The boy is not himself.
Oh, it is a mystery, Monsieur.
Tell me exactly what happened after I left.
I have already explained. He waited for a while, then went outside, walked up and down, and then walked away. Where to, I do not know, because I was serving customers.
But it seems impossible to vanish into thin air like this. If one of the horses had gone, I could have understood. I would have said that he'd gone off riding by himself. Surely he wouldn't walk into the mountain.
Very unlikely, Monsieur. And on such a day as it was today, so hot, with summer upon us, almost too early in the year.
I think I'd better go back to the police and find out if they can give me any news. Should he arrive, send him directly to the police station.
Oh, but certainly, Monsieur. I shall do exactly as you say.
Not in his greatest flights of fancy as a novelist could Pierre Godet conceive that his friend Louis de Franchi was on this evening lying bound in a coach house in the south of Corsica. The hour is drawing towards midnight, and already a half moon pushes its way up over the rugged mountains. In the house, all are waiting for the Gadici cousins to arrive for the flogging. And Marianne, who has been sitting in her room looking through the window down to the coach house and wondering what goes on in the mind of the man within, finally comes to a decision. Flinging open the door, she walks down the stairs, tells the guards to stand outside, walks into the coach house and closes the door behind her. Her air is almost defiant.
If my father comes, I will tell him that I've come to gloat. Well, why don't you say something? You know why I've come, Lucien.
Who are you?
It is all right. The guards can't hear. These doors are thick. Oh, Lucien, whatever happened?
I don't know. To be quite candid, I'm still trying to piece it together. But first, let me tell you, I'm not Lucien.
I tell you, nobody can hear us. Oh, my heart, what have you done? What have you done?
That's it. What have I done? All I can remember is that I was in Ajaccio waiting for my friend. I heard the sound of a brook through some trees. I walked through the trees and I just remember no more. Oh, please, please don't be upset. Not on my account. I'm not the man you think I am.
Why do you talk so strangely?
You're mistaking me for someone else. My brother.
Your brother?
Yes, my brother, Lucien de Franchi. I am Louis. You see, Lucien is my twin brother. I've come from Paris, and it was only this morning that I was in a Ajaccio that this happened. Your father must have mistaken me for my brother.
Is this a game?
It's no game. I assure you it's the truth.
You have no brother.
Well, it was not generally known. I was brought up in Paris. Now I've come over here to live with my family. At least, that was my intention. But now, well, I understand that the Gadici are our mortal enemies. What will happen to me? Will they really kill me?
You have no brother.
I know it's so hard to believe, but we're so very alike. When you came in, you seemed friendly. Surprised me. I thought you must be a friend of my brother's. But now, why, what's the matter?
So, you choose to forget.
Forget what?
You choose to forget that you professed your love for a Gadici, and that a Gadici professed her love for you. This is your way of showing me that a Gadici is not worthy of your love.
You're mistaken if you still think that I'm Lucien.
If I still think you're Lucien. What do you think I am, Lucien de Franchi? So you're not Lucien, eh? You're not Lucien. Very well. This is all the proof I need.
What are you doing? What are you doing? My shirt.
So you are not Lucien de Franchi. You are not the man who was nursed back to health. The man who was stabbed where that bandage is now.
Oh, if you'll let me explain, mademoiselle. This bandage, it happened in Paris.
Hold your tongue. I don't want to hear any more. So, I'm not good enough for you. And you choose to forget me. You choose to forget that night when I led you across the rose garden, through the gate to your horse. When you told me you would pray for the time when we should meet again. Pray every night of your life. Instead, you deny me, just as though I'd never existed. Take that, and that, and that, you. You de Franchi.
Mademoiselle,
and please. That is a mere nothing to what you will feel across your back within the next hour. Lash after lash after lash. And I shall be counting them, exulting in them, until your last breath of life is gone.
Marianne's dark eyes blazed in fury as she uttered these words. Louis, aghast at the storm let loose, could say nothing. It seems that Louis's doom is sealed. Make sure you hear the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers. Thank you.